Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, Internet world. Welcome to The Cross in the Desert, speaking hope and freedom to Iran. I'm your host, Randy L. Noble, and once again, I want to thank you so much for taking time out of your busy life to join me on the broadcast this morning. Today is Thursday, May 7th, 2020. On this morning's program, I want to share with you, very excited about our new and upcoming book. About a year and a half ago, my Iranian friend Manoush and I published our first book together entitled Dear God, Please Bring Freedom to Iran. It was very successful. Manoush had many good interviews, and they were all in Farsi, but still she was able to interact with some major media. And it was a successful book. We talked about political prisoners, artists, and Christian refugees. Well, it was just this past September that we began embarking on our new book together entitled Shout Freedom, The Desperate Cry of Iranians. We all had an idea and a game plan of the certain people we were going to talk about. I was going to write about my Christian friend Mary Mohammadi and her struggles for freedom in Iran as a Christian. And then the protests began. And we had to make some changes in our book so that our book incorporated the major protest that began in November, and it was a violent one that ended up killing 1,500 Iranians. And then the biggest story after that was that President Trump ordered an attack on Iran's top general Soleimani and killed him near the airport in Baghdad. So we had to make adjustments to fill in and write about that. It was unexpected. And then Iran shot down the Ukrainian airliner taking off with Tehran. And over 70 or 80 Iranian Canadians were killed in that. And so one thing after another began happening. And it was shortly after that that my good Christian friend Mary Mohammadi was released from prison in Iran, and then the coronavirus began to break out. And so we have gone through a lot of changes with this book, and I've been busy critiquing it for errors, mistakes, misspells, typos. A lot of things have happened, and we have postponed the publication of this until somewhere in the middle of summer after the virus begins to recede. We just felt that this was the right time to do it. We originally wanted to do it in the spring, but with so many things happening with the virus and a situation with my Iranian friend Manoush, we decided together, look, here's where we're going to launch it. This is the best time. And so sometime this summer, coming up very soon, we will finally publish our new book. And what I wanted to do this morning is I wanted to take one article out of the book and read it to you. One of the major articles in the book is about my Christian friend Mary Mohammadi and her struggle for freedom as a Christian in Iran, being released from prison, going to court, Many things I talk about in this article, and I've talked about Mary before, but this morning I want to talk about the lead article, and it is about a young Iranian woman who tragically took her life last September because she was barred from attending a soccer match and was going to be sentenced to jail because she tried to go in disguising herself as a man. And it was such a big story at that time because it talked about freedom for my Iranian friends. And so I wanted to spend some time this morning featuring that story and reading it to you because it's the lead story in the book, and it is about a young Iranian woman. And I want you to get to know her, what she was like and what her story was and how the world reacted to this horrible tragedy. It's a story about Sahar Khodiari. Everyone in Iran knows that name. And the name of the story is Blazing Torch for Freedom. And this is her story from our new book, which is entitled Shout Freedom, The Desperate Cry of Iranians. A soft, cool breeze blew gently across Sahar's face. Spring was in the air. Nowruz, the Persian New Year, was just 9 days away, and the celebration was about to begin. However, today, Sahar had far more important things on her mind. Today was Tuesday, March 12th, 2019, and Sahar was about to attend her first soccer match in Tehran. Her favorite soccer team, Esteghlal, was playing United Arab Emirates, and she couldn't wait to stand up with thousands of other young fans and loudly scream and cheer them on to victory. Sahar stopped a few hundred from the entrance to Azadi Stadium and watched a huge crowd of people hurrying inside, anxious to get to their seats. She took a nervous, deep breath and then adjusted the blue wig covering the top of her head. Removing a mirror from the pocket of her gray overcoat, she carefully examined her face. Did she really look like a man? Had she removed all traces of makeup on her face? Would she get through security? Quickly shoving the mirror back into the pocket of her overcoat, Sahar took another quick, deep breath. Beads of sweat coming from the wig trickled down her face. She nervously wiped the sweat away and continued walking, trying to blend in with the crowd in front of her. She had never done anything like this before. She had heard the stories of many women desperate to see a soccer match and dressing up like a man to sneak inside. Sahar gazed up at the sign hanging above the entrance that read, Azadi Stadium. She chuckled out loud to herself, Azadi Stadium. What kind of name for a stadium is that? Azadi in Persian means freedom. But that's a lie. There is no freedom for women in this stadium. They are forbidden. Ever since the revolution in 1979, when Iran was transformed from a secular state into an Islamic republic, men and women became segregated classes of people. Women could no longer hold government jobs and were forced to be veiled when going out publicly. Men became the dominant class, and women were reduced to second-class citizens. Even though it was not officially written into code, women could no longer attend stadium events alongside of men because of the discriminatory teachings of Sharia law. The government now ruled their lives from cradle to grave, and human rights and freedom no longer existed for women. Yet that didn't stop Sahar. She was not afraid. She was not afraid of what the government could do to her. Today, she was proudly wearing blue, the official team color, and she was determined to be the loudest cheering fan in the whole stadium. Attending a soccer game in Tehran was the absolute dream of her life, and nothing could stop her today. A smile beamed across her face as she neared the entrance. In her mind's eyes, she visualized herself standing way atop the stadium, gazing down at the playing field, surrounded by thousands of fans, all of them men, cheering loudly into the air as Esteghlal scored their first goal of the game. Chills and goosebumps broke out all over Sahar's body as she saw herself having the greatest time of her life. Pulling her cell phone out of her pocket to show the security guard her ticket, Sahar once again took a deep breath and she relaxed. She arrived at the entrance. She presented her cell phone to the ticket patron when suddenly two security guards surrounded her. One of them reached on top of her head with his hand and pulled off her blue wig. Sahar dropped her cell phone in shock. Her heart began racing in her chest. "You are not a man," the security guard screamed back to Sahar. "You are an imposter. You are under arrest." In an instant, Sahar's world had been shattered. Her dream of attending her first ever soccer game was no longer a childlike reality, but now had been transformed into a horrible nightmare. Monday, September 2nd, had finally arrived. Sahar had dreaded this day for months, but realized she had to keep her court date to face more jail time, After finding out she had been arrested, Sahar's parents were extremely angry and reluctantly paid the expensive bail for her freedom. They were loyalists to the government and warned her to fully comply with the law or risk staying in jail forever. They refused to bail her out a second time. Sahar entered the court building and walked up to the front desk. A lady dressed in a full chador that covered her body and hair greeted her, asking what her reason for coming was. When Sahar explained that she had been summoned to court, the lady politely informed her that the judge had postponed the case for family reasons and she was scheduled to return another day. The woman looked closely at her paperwork and then looked intently into Sahar's eyes. "You realize, ma'am, that your case is very serious. You are charged with going out publicly without a hijab and impersonating a man to attend a soccer game. If you are convicted, you will have to spend 6 months in jail and maybe even up to 2 years." The thought of being in prison for 6 months and caged like an animal was horrifying to Sahar. The woman's warning cut through her soul like the blade of a sharp knife. Sahar grabbed her chest in fear as anxiety pains shot through her. She had heard the horror stories of women being raped and sexually assaulted by prison guards. She was well aware of the deplorable prison conditions where there was no medical assistance and no access to a lawyer for many months. Sahar understood how women were treated like animals and sexual objects, and the thought of spending even one day in prison for the crime of being a woman in Iran was absolutely repulsive and unacceptable to her. Racing out the front door in fear, and you have to picture this, Sahar knew exactly what she had to do. There was no turning back. Living as a woman in Iran was no longer an option for her. Today would be her last day of living under fear and oppression. Her friends had urged her to just hang in there a little longer. Freedom and democracy would soon come to Iran. The daily protests in the streets and all over the cities were having a drastic effect, and the government, her friends claimed, the government cannot last much longer under the pressure of sanctions and violence in the streets. However, Sahar had lost all hope. Today had been the last crushing blow of despair that she could endure. She raced around the corner and arrived at a gas station. Purchasing a small plastic container, she filled it full to the top with gasoline. The owner gave her a concerned look and decided instead not to interfere into her personal business. Sahar rounded the corner onto a busy side street filled with people. All of these people were walking very briskly toward their morning jobs. The loud noise of honking horns in the traffic-filled streets and the screaming voices of angry motorists didn't bother her like before. She had become deaf to the chaotic sounds of Tehran. The world had suddenly become dead to her. She had no feelings anymore. She was now totally numb and indifferent to life itself. Stopping in the middle of the sidewalk, Sahar took an angry, deep breath. Tears streamed down her face. Her hand trembled as she unscrewed the cap off of the plastic container of gasoline. She closed her eyes, and at once, in that moment, she saw herself inside of a city stadium, surrounded by thousands of happy, jubilant fans cheering on Istiqlal. For a brief moment, Sahar managed to smile. Right now, at this moment, in her mind's eyes, she was living the dream of a lifetime, visualizing the thrill of attending her first soccer game. Yet, this thrill, it was short-lived. It was all just a cruel nightmare that had died 6 months ago. There was nothing left to do for now, nothing left to live for now. All hope had died on the day that she was arrested. Sahar knew being a woman in Iran was a hopeless and cruel existence, and she didn't want to be a part of that anymore. Despair and lack of hope had sucked every last bit of life from out of her soul. Sahar raised the plastic container of gasoline over her head and began saturating her body with it. A few men on the street stopped and gazed with concern at her. As she lit the match, a young woman raced toward her, realizing what she was about to do. "Stop! Please! Please!" But before the young woman could finish her sentence, Sahar touched her clothes with the match and was immediately engulfed in flames. Sahar had never in her life had felt anything like this before. The scorching hot burning pain paralyzed her entire body. She could barely utter a word. The pain and suffering was indescribable, and yet she didn't regret what she had done for a second. A young man raced toward her, but Sahara immediately warned him in a shrieking voice, "Leave me alone. I want to die. Leave me alone." Sahar was rushed to a hospital in Tehran. Her whole body was covered with third-degree burns. 7 days later, on September 10th, 2019, Blue Girl died from her severe injuries. The tragic news of Sahar's death was heard all over the soccer world. There was outrage and sadness. Her favorite team, Istiqlal, held a moment of silence before their training session in memory and tribute to Blue Girl, affectionately called Blue Girl because she had dressed herself in the team colors. The Iranian soccer team issued a public statement that was recorded on video. "The tragic death of our beloved child, Miss Sahar Khodiari, has caused much sadness and regret for Istiqlal. We offer our condolences to you and your relatives." Thousands of sad supporters gathered in the very spot where Sahar committed self-immolation and held a candlelight vigil in prayer. There were hundreds of flowers laid at the site, and one handwritten note declared, "You won't be forgotten, Blue Girl." The FIFA, the International Governing Body for Football, outraged at Sahar's senseless death, publicly called on Iranian authorities to, quote, "ensure the freedom and safety of any woman engaged in the legitimate fight to end the stadium ban for women in Iran." Amnesty International loudly spoke out against the unjust, tragic death of Sahar, condemning the oppressive rules against women in Iran. Quote, "Her only crime was being a woman in a country where women face discrimination entrenched in laws and plays out in the most horrific ways imaginable in every area of their lives, even in sports. Close quote. Thousands of Iranians took to Twitter, tweeting their outrage with the hashtag, quote, Blue Girls. One such outrage tweet came from Magdalena Eriksson, a soccer player for Chelsea's women's team in London. Quote, today our hearts bleed blue for Sahar Khodayari. Now it's time for everyone in Iran to be allowed to attend every football match together. Rest in peace, Blue Girl. Close quote. World-renowned human rights activist Emadi Baghi also took to Twitter in support of Sahar, declaring, quote, Tehran's Azadi Stadium should be renamed Sahar-e-Azadi. For 40 years, we've called that stadium Azadi. Azadi means freedom, but there is nothing in common between the stadium and the real meaning of that word. Close quote. And so, this is what we're hearing about Kaho Sohardi. Very, very, very sad. On October 10, 2019, caving into international outrage and pressure from the FIFA, the government of Iran allowed women to purchase 3,500 tickets and attend the World Cup finals against Cambodia. It was the first time in 40 years that women were allowed inside. However, this was nothing more than a publicity stunt, damage control for the rebuilding of a public image, giving the watching world the impression that, quote, Iran was finally respecting women, when in reality, there was nothing in writing to lift the ban. It was all about image, and yet for a few hours, it appeared that some measure of justice was finally given to the memory of Sahar. Rival Sons is a very popular American rock band that wrote a powerful song entitled Shooting Stars. The chorus of this song has a haunting and incredible melody that, although not intended to be a tribute to Sahar, yet it describes something very ominous of her courage and personality. We move through the world like shooting stars across the sky, splitting through the darkness, putting the light into their eyes. In just a few verses, I can see the face of Sahar and everything that she should star. She lived a very brief life and died at the young age of 29. She was like a shooting star, here for just a few moments in time, but those few moments forever changed the world. With courage and conviction, she set herself on fire and became a blazing torch for freedom. She bravely stood up to the darkness of oppression, and because of that, the world paused from their chaotic life and for a few brief moments listened to her message. Sahar was crying out in desperation, engulfed in the agonizing flames, putting the light into their eyes. In the final moments of her life, Blue Girl screamed loudly in her suffering and set the world on fire. She shouted freedom from a busy street in the middle of Tehran to tell the world that there is something terribly wrong and cruel going on in Iran. We must never forget this courageous woman who refused to keep silent about the gender apartheid in Iran. It was not just another soccer game. It was about life itself. Blue Girl was a shooting star, and in an agonizing instant of flames engulfing her body, the blazing torch of truth shined out from her whole being in protest against the cruel and unjust discrimination of Iranian women. I want you to hear this song by Rival Sons in tribute to Sahar.
It's stronger than yours. It's stronger than yours. It's stronger than yours. My love is stronger than yours. Hate will ever be. And my faith is deeper than yours. It's deeper than yours. is deeper than yours. My faith is deeper than yours. Doubt will ever be. When the fills the world like shooting stars across the sky,
appropriate song dedicated to Sahar Kodiarty, and of course this will be featured in our new book Shout Freedom, The Desperate Cry of Iranians. I want to thank you for tuning in this morning and sharing this time with me, and I hope that you will keep my Iranian friends in your prayers as they continue to battle this deadly coronavirus that their government is neglecting and has really done so many things to keep them from being successful in their fight against this virus. So thank you so much for listening this morning. God bless you. Have a great weekend, and I will see you again on Monday on The Cross in the Desert.